All right, Acts chapter 27. We'll read some familiar scripture tonight. This is when the Apostle Paul, he is caught in this ship, and he is caught in a storm right here. Acts chapter 27. Let's stand to our feet if we could. If you're able to. Thomas, you don't have to, son. He had knee surgery. Brother Thomas, my friend right here, he had knee surgery, so I tell him if he can't stand, that'll be good. Amen. Acts chapter 27. I begin to read with me in verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. And then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not fall an hair from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. You can be seated tonight. I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord. Help during the preaching. Touch us and anoint us afresh. Help somebody that's lost to get saved. Somebody has a need for that need to be met. And we'll thank you for it. For this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we understand that the Apostle Paul, he is on his way to Rome. He has appealed in that to Caesar. And so they're taking him to Rome. He's with other prisoners, and the centurion has got him on this ship. And so they've decided to go the way that they thought they needed to go. And as a matter of fact, they landed when they didn't have but just a little bit of wind to carry them where they needed to. They landed in a place that was called the Fair Havens. And they stayed there for a long time, the Bible tells us. And then they thought they would go over to a place that was called Phinehas or Phinehas, and they decided they'd go over there to winter. And by the way, from the Fair Havens to Phinehas is just 50 miles. If you look on the map, there's just 50 miles difference between the two. And Paul warned them not to go. If you read the whole story, Paul said, I believe this trip is going to be with much hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also with our lives. And he told them not to go and begged them not to go, but sure enough, they decided to go. And imagine that they didn't have to get out too far from around Crete out through there. The island of Crete is where they were at. And no doubt they could probably still see the island a little ways off. But the Bible tells us that they thought they had gained their purpose. The Bible said in verse 13 that the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. They never got too far away. They just wanted to get far enough out that they could run that 50 miles and get to where they were going. Verse 14, the Bible said, But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclodon, and when the ship was caught, they were in trouble at this point, wasn't they? I mean, the ship's caught. They didn't listen to the preacher. They're already in a mess right here, and there's nothing that they can do with this thing.
The Bible tells us here that they were tossed to and fro. They feared the ship was going to be destroyed. The Bible said in verse 17 that they used helps to hold that thing together and undergird the ship. And the Bible said that unless they would fall into the quicksands, they straight sail and were driven. At one time, they just pulled their anchors up and they let that thing drive however it would drive. And so the Bible said over here in verse 19, it said, in the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's a bad place to be, ain't it? I mean, they have no sun, they have no stars, they had no direction of what to do and where to go. And they're caught in the nighttime, it seemed like constantly, and a storm would not turn them loose. And the Bible said in verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. I almost think Paul, there's a little bit of me think that Paul was saying, I told you so. And then there's a little bit of me wants to believe that, but I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I think Paul was trying to get them to remember back to the time when they left that Paul said, I told you not to do this. Now, he told them that for a reason. One, it was dangerous for them to go, but when he was reminding them of this, he says in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall not be any loss, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. I think Paul wanted to drag their memory back to, yeah, he was right here, and I'm going to be right here by what I'm telling you. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Paul is trying to get them to see that he was right before and now he's going to be right this time also. But I found something interesting in this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul said in verse 22, he said what? Be of good cheer. You go down to verse 25, he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. You come down to verse 36, when he had told them to eat, and they began to eat, then they were all of good cheer. You know what that word good cheer means? To be of good cheer, it means to be happy. That's exactly what it means. It simply means to be happy. And here the Apostle Paul stands in the midst of a storm with a ship that is tossed to and fro, that's running however it can, that's been undergirded, the lading's been thrown out, and everybody's wondering what's going on. And here he stands saying, be of good cheer. That's just like the preacher, ain't it? You're in the middle of a mess and in the middle of a storm, and the preacher's got the audacity to tell you to be happy in the middle of your storm. And that's simply what I want to preach on tonight, is be of good cheer. Three things, and we'll go home and find some supper. Number one, be of good cheer when the storm overwhelms you. This storm right here was this wasn't a normal storm. This wasn't a little storm. This wasn't something that just blowed up out of nowhere. But this was a hurricane. I mean, this thing was like if I could say, kind of like a hurricane. And it has trapped this boat. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said right here. He said in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am, and whom I serve. When the storm overwhelms you, and you want to be of good cheer, remember who you are tonight. Remember who you belong to tonight. Remember who owns your soul, who saved you, who's keeping you and looking over you tonight. Well, you're talking about that ought to excite us tonight, that there's a God in heaven tonight that cares for us and sees about us tonight. I thought about when those boys in Mark chapter 4 were in the midst of that storm, and he's asleep on the back of the ship on a pillow, the Bible said, and they come to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we pass? Hey, in the midst of that storm, he was still on the boat. We tend to forget that sometimes, that where he is, and he's got us. Do you realize he's going everywhere that you go? Ain't that a joy tonight? I mean, he's looking at you. He sees you. Hey, when you look at Mark chapter 6, and them boys are caught in a storm again. You all know this. I've preached on it numerous times. When they're caught in that storm, and the Bible said that he's alone on the land, and they're out there in the middle of the sea, and it's now dark. He still saw them in their storm. God still sees you in the midst of your storm. There's no cloud too dark, and no nighttime so night that he can't see you, friend, that he's got you. We belong to him. What did Paul say right here? He said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." He said, "I'm the Lord's tonight." You know, that excites me tonight. That no, listen, I know it gets bad. I know it gets to the place where it seems like all hope's taken away sometimes. The world's turned upside down. Our life's messed up so bad. Sometimes in the storm has overwhelmed us. Hey, be of good cheer, because we still belong to him tonight. Amen. He's not going to lose us. John 10 tells us over there, I believe it is, that we're in his hand. We're in the Father's hand. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "No man can pluck you out of my hand." Hey, that's a joy tonight. There is no storm, no wind, no rain that can blow us out of the hand of God. He still got us tonight. That ought to make us be of good cheer. Preacher, you ain't never faced cancer. You've never faced the death of somebody that's super close to you. You've never been through this. Hey, friend, as I sat down and I studied this, I said, "Lord, please don't let me get up there and shoot my mouth off tonight about things that I may or may not know. Please help me with that." But I'm going to tell you tonight, and I want you to get this, and I want me to understand it. No matter what happens, if you're saved, he still has you tonight. He still got you. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. John 14 and 18, what did he say? He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Ain't that a joy tonight? He said, "Look, there's no storm too overwhelming that he can't handle. He will come to us." Ain't that wonderful tonight? Notice what Paul said. He said, "Not only do I belong to the Lord," but he says, "Wherefore, sirs," he said, "be of good cheer." Here it is again. "For I believe God." You want to know when the storm's overwhelming? Not only remember who you belong to, but just believe God. Just believe God tonight. Just have faith in the Heavenly Father. Have faith in the Son tonight. You ever run into somebody whose world ought to just be falling apart, and their world just ought to be so turned upside down, and they're in the midst of a storm that is beyond what me and you can fathom, but yet these people still have some way to manage to raise their head up, come to church, gather up in the choir and raise their hand when all hell's against them, they're still able to praise the Lord. Why? Because they've still got faith in the Lord tonight. Keep on believing God. Paul said, "I'm just going to believe God that it shall be even as it is told me." My soul, we believe him for salvation. We put our eternity. Think about that, church. We put our eternity in his hand. And then wonder if he's going to help us through the storm. Man, did he not? Listen, when Daniel faced what he faced, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced what they faced, when Joseph faced what he faced, was God not with them every time? Why would he not be with us? When the storm is raging, just believe God. If you want to have good cheer, if you want to be happy in the midst of your storm, believe God. "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul knew that the ship was going to crash. He knew they were going to lose what they had, but they were going to make it. They were going to make it. Well, you go over there and you look and you see how some made it. Some of it cast herself into the sea there in verse 43, I believe it was, and or verse 42 and verse 43. And in verse 44, the Bible said, "And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all, safe to land." Some of them had to swim. Some had to come in on boards and broken pieces of the ship. But nonetheless, they made it. Hey, our storm may bust our boat up. But I'm telling you right now, He'll be with us, and you just keep believing God. If you want to have good cheer, then you stay with the boat. Here they were about the shipmen were going to escape. They acted like they were going to cast the anchors out, but what they were going to do was put down the lifeboat, the life raft, and they were going to escape. And Paul said, if you let these boys get off the ship, then none of us are going to be saved. And so them centurions just went over there and whacked them ropes. And that lifeboat just hit the water and there it went. And so they're all on the boat now. You want me to tell you what to do in the midst of your storm and how to have good cheer? Just stay on the boat. Just stay on the boat. Don't get off the boat. Don't get away from the boat. Stay on the boat. Because if they got off the boat, they weren't going to make it. Listen, I'm going to tell you, no matter how bad the storm gets, you may think bailing out is going to be a good thing. You may think bailing out and getting away from it, it's going to get you away from the storm, but it won't. We'll just make it worse. Paul told them twice. He said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Stay in the boat." You know, the only way that me and you can find help is if we just stay with the Lord tonight. You ain't going to lose your salvation if you're saved, but I'm going to tell you something. You can get in a place. You can get in a place to where God will just let you go the way you want to go. If you want to get off the boat, He'll let you get off the boat. He'll let you face that storm by yourself. He'll let you go out there and make a mess of it all. In your life be a shipwreck like you ain't ever seen. Stay with the boat tonight. You want to have good cheer? So how are you going to have good cheer, preacher? How are you going to have good cheer? Notice what the Bible said over here. Look in verse 33. I want you to get this. And the Bible said, "And while the day was coming on." You know, there comes a time when the day does come along. There comes a time when day breaks, how the sun shines again, and the storm's over. As a matter of fact, they still have to, they wedge that thing into some rocks. They end up coming in on boards and parts of the ship. And in verse 28, or in chapter 28, the Bible said, "And when they were escaped, when they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." Hey, they finally got to where they needed to go. The day may not have been the best day in the world, but it wasn't no longer a storm. And they wasn't no longer on that boat that was about to fall apart. And they wasn't no longer, hey, listen, I'm telling you, there's going to come a day when it's going to get better. Right? There's going to come a day when it's going to get better. The storm, that folk get it. Hey, look at me tonight. How many of you has ever been in a storm and didn't think it's ever going to get any better? I'm talking about spiritually. Let me ask you something. You ever got caught in a real storm? And I'm talking about, well, a spiritual storm is a real storm. You ever got caught in a physical storm and you didn't think that thing was ever going to quit? Yeah, listen, you get in a vehicle and get in the middle of a hailstorm and there ain't nowhere to go. You're wondering if that thing's ever going to quit. I'm going to tell you, spiritually speaking, sometimes you wonder if that thing's ever going to let up and if it's ever going to quit. The Apostle Paul told him, he said, "Be of good cheer. Find some happiness." Ain't you glad tonight that no matter what we're going through, the Lord can make us happy tonight? I'm glad He can make us happy. Number two, be of good cheer when the devil's attacking you. Well, it's hard to say tonight, ain't it? You're in the midst of in a battle. You know, as Baptists, we got so many words for bad times, don't we? Being in a storm, being in a battle, going up the mountain, living in the valley. I mean, it seems like climbing the mountain would. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, we've got words for all these bad times in our life. And by the way, the Bible gives us some of those words, by the way. But whatever you want to call it, there comes times when the devil will attack. If you're going to serve, listen to me tonight. If you're going to serve Christ, Jesus the Lord, you have an adversary tonight. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's after you tonight. You're going to serve God? He's on your trail tonight. You want to raise your family right tonight? He's on your trail tonight. You want to come to a good Bible-believing church tonight and worship God and praise Him? He's on your trail tonight. You want to live right on the job, live right at your home, live right out town, live holy and acceptable unto God and separated from this present world, the devil is on your trail. He's going to be after you. He is out to destroy our homes. He's out to destroy our churches. He's out to destroy our town. And he's doing a real good job at destroying our nation tonight. As I looked at this, I thought about Ephesians 6 when we had the armor of God. And I thought to myself, why else would the Lord give us His armor but to be able to fight? You don't need armor unless you're going to go fight. Why else in Ephesians 6 would He tell us to take the whole armor of God? And He said, having done all, to stand, therefore stand. And then He tells us how. It's a battle, friend. But I'm talking about having, be of good cheer, having happiness. I've talked to some people that have fought in wars. My granddad fought in World War II. Some of you sitting in here have fought wars and battles. I've talked to other men in the nursing home. Got to talk to one gentleman over there. I don't know if Sister Margie will remember him. I only got to see him for just a week or two, but I remember at the nursing home. He told me stories about being down in Hawaii. And he was at Pearl Harbor. He was in the hospital at Pearl Harbor on the third floor. And he said, I remember seeing the planes fly by. That gentleman was very interesting to talk to. Very interesting. He is our adversary. You realize that tonight, don't you? Battles and fights. I've never seen anybody. Never seen anybody. Be happy to fight a battle. But be of good cheer. In the midst of it, me and you can be happy tonight. So what do you mean I can be happy in the midst of it? Take your Bible and go over to the book of 2 Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. Here Paul is. You know what he's praying? He's praying for the messenger of Satan to no longer buffet on him. You all know what the word buffet means. It means to beat on. And he's praying that to the Lord that the messenger of Satan would no longer beat on him. He said, for this thing in verse 8, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. See what he's going to glory in? Glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Almost sounds like he's happy in something right here, don't it? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It's almost that right here that Paul's saying, I'm going to be of good cheer in the middle of the battle. He said, I'm going to take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, and in distresses for Christ's sake. How many of us could say that? I'm going to tell you, Paul was a very, very unique man. I mean, not only in the ministry that God had given him as the apostle to the Gentiles, but he was a very unique man that here he stands when Christ has told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore. Most gladly, therefore. He's getting beat on and buffeted by the messenger of Satan, and he says, most gladly,
Therefore. That's hard to get a hold of. That's hard to comprehend and grasp that in the middle of a battle, the Apostle Paul's going, most likely, therefore, I would rather suffer through this. That's hard to get a hold of, church. Our help and our strength in the midst of that comes from Him. John 16, the Lord Jesus put it like this. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Guess what the next words are? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When this thing, when that world out there is against us, and it is against us, and they will bring tribulation, and Satan will bring tribulation. Hey, listen, he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This world, we sing it sometimes out of the Redback book, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. We're just sojourning here tonight. Luke chapter 22, the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And see, we read that a lot of times, or we quote that, and we never go on and read the rest of the next verse, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord was praying for Simon Peter. Ain't that amazing tonight? That in the midst of Satan attacking him, in the midst of Satan trying to sift him and take him to pieces, he says, I have prayed for thee. When the battle gets red hot, and it will get red hot, and it'll get on, we need to be of good cheer. Can I tell you that is very easy for the preacher to stand up here tonight and say those words. It's easy tonight to say that. I'm not facing what you're facing. I'm not going through what you're going through. Sometimes it's a little tough to be happy in the midst of battles, ain't it? But you want me to tell you how to be happy sometimes in the midst of battles? Because you're fixing to get to see the Lord move. You're fixing to get to see Him do something that is amazing. I'm getting into my next point, but I'm telling you tonight, when He moves and He helps you in the midst of it, go to Ephesians 6. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians 6. We'll get there. Look in verse 10, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. He's a wily thing, ain't he, tonight? I mean, he'll come by and he'll talk to you. He talked to Eve and got Eve in trouble, didn't he? He did. He talked to Eve and got her in a mess. He talked to Ananias and Sapphira over in Acts chapter 5 and got them in a mess. How do you know? Because Peter said, why Satan had put it into your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. And he'll come by and he'll talk to you and he'll whisper to you and he'll try to get you to mess up. And listen, if he can't get you to sin, then he'll start beating on you. You know, he even talked to the Lord, didn't he, in Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're going to serve Him, the Lord Jesus, then you're no different than anybody else. You know, the Bible said there's no temptation taking you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know what he said right there? There's no temptation taking you but such is common to man. You're not special. Me and you are not above the battle. And by the way, you ever run into some people that, man, they think they're battling more than somebody else has ever battled? No. He's the same devil. Now, some's been worse. I don't ever want to deal with what Job dealt with. Somebody ought to stood up and shouted right there. I don't want to deal with what Job dealt with. He lost all his finances. He lost everything that he had. Lost his children. 10 children. Had to have a 10-body funeral out there. Imagine that. Lost everything. Lost his servants. Basically lost his wife. Lost his health. That was a pretty good battle, wasn't it? But the Lord still helped him through every bit of it. Didn't seem like it at times. The Lord was there. Notice he said right here, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're fighting against him, but we're standing in the Lord's strength tonight. He said, be of good cheer. Number 3. Not only when the storm overwhelms you, not only when the battle is raging, but when the future worries you. I get like Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes sometime, Brother Jeff. I get like him. And I go out there to my workshop and I look around and I look at some of these tools that I'm using. And I'm using tools that I bought at estate sales. And I'm using somebody else's tools. And I think to myself sometimes, and I guess I think I'm going first because I always think, well, reckon my wife's going to sell all this stuff when I leave. And reckon who's going to end up with my stuff. You know, that's what Solomon talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, who's going to get everything that he's worked for and has? He's worried about that. And then I have to remind myself, it don't matter who gets it. It don't matter. I guess I'm at that age, you know. But when the future worries you, when you're worried about tomorrow, or 2 weeks from now, or a month, or a year from now, and it robs you of your cheer, when you worry about the future, how do we have good cheer at a time like that? We remember who God is. What do you mean we remember who God is? He said, for I am the Lord and I change not. He said, therefore, O ye sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. Well, what do you want me to remember that the Lord is still the same? Well, I talked about Daniel a few minutes ago. And Daniel had to face something that was coming up in the future. He remember King Darius signed that into law and said, if you pray to anybody else other than to the king, he's going to have to face that den of lions. And Daniel knew what the future held just as sure as he got down on his knees and opened his windows to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was coming in the future, but he still done it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew what was coming in the future if they did not bow. They knew what was going to happen. I mean, the king had already told, he said, look, I knew what was going to happen. Acts chapter 12 that Peter was in prison over there and he's shackled between two guards. And you know what he does? The night before they're going to take him and kill him, he goes to sleep. Goes to sleep. He's facing the chopping block tomorrow morning. And Peter lays down and goes to sleep. If we knew tomorrow we were going to die, could we lay down tonight and go to sleep? Could we have happiness and cheer? I want you to remember when the future worries you that the same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and he delivered Daniel, and he delivered Peter. Can I tell you something? If he chooses not to deliver you, he'll be there to see you cross over. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's some funerals that I remember preaching. I think I told y'all this story not too long ago. I remember when Brother Alvin passed away, is over in ICU over here in Athens, and I remember going in there about midnight. They'd called me and said, "You need to get to the hospital." And I remember going in there, and the family was gathered up, and he was passing. And probably within about 30, 45 minutes of me being there, he passed. And I remember that everybody left. The kids left. They went outside. And I remember it was just me and Sister Carla and the nurse in there. And I remember that nurse come over to me. She said, "Preacher," she said, "you reckon you can lead us in prayer?" And I remember thinking to myself, "I don't know, but I'll try." But I remember sitting in there, and it was just real quiet. And I remember that scripture that came to my mind. This is what I preached at his funeral. That precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. And I remember sitting in that little old dark ICU room, that about only light they had, what was coming from the outside in through them sliding doors. And I remember just sitting in there and just talking to the Lord how precious really it is when we cross. You know, our faith ends inside. There ain't none of us probably wanting to get up a busload tonight, but I'm telling you tonight that even no matter what happens, I'm not worried about the future. I know he's got me, and I got him tonight. You need to remember, when you worry about the future, not only remember who God is, but remember that he's with us and he has us. Since you've been saved, if you're not saved, he ain't got you and you ain't got him. You need to get saved tonight. Lord Jesus loves you, died at Calvary, gave his life for you so that you could get saved. And if you'll come and trust in the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing you're lost, and beg out and ask God to save you, he'll save you tonight. But since you've been saved, he's had you. Remember what he's done. You're worried about the future? Remember what he's done in the past. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how he has seen you through and took care of you. You know, when David talks about that he lays on the bed of the nighttime and how that the night watches keep him awake and he thinks about the works of God. Some of those times, I think sometimes he's thinking about what God has done for Israel, but other times I think he's also talking about, "Lord, I remember what you've done for me." How many times have we worried about what's out there in the future? And it was Adrian Rogers, wasn't it, Brother Jeff, that talked about outrunning your grace sometimes? We get to worrying about things that we're inventing things about what could happen out there. And there's no grace for stuff that we're making up, man. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's going to happen. But we serve the one and are kept by the one who does hold tomorrow. And does know what's going to happen. And does know how to take care of us. Remember what he's done. Remember how he died and went to Calvary and took care of our sin and saved you when you called out on him. And what he's done for you since then. And how he's took care of you and how he's coming again. Ain't that a wonderful, wonderful thought tonight? Let's bow our heads tonight.